Listener, you're still tuned to a radio service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on VONIS.id and also the application RRI Digital. A lot of things from Indonesia still coming up, so stay tuned on a radio service, Voice of Indonesia. It was his voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, in solidarity with Palestine, Indonesia plans to build a maternity and children's hospital in Gaza. And to find out the detail about this plan, we'll talk with the Director of the Middle East at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ahrul Sanifatur Rahman, and the Presidium of AXA Working Group, Rifa Beliana Arifin. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Steve.
Okay, so for the people who are listening to this broadcast abroad, I would like both of you share with us what is the role that is played by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and even the AXA Working Group in this plan. I would like to start from Pak Ahrul.
Thank you, Steve, for the opportunity. Good morning, everyone. So regarding the plan for reconstruction of Indonesian Mother and Child Hospital in Gaza City, actually this is the real action from our cooperation and collaboration between the government and the Indonesian NGOs, in this case, the AXA Working Group, how we can provide a humanitarian assistance for our brothers in Palestine, especially in Gaza, which we know that the health sector there is collapse. So I think part of our assistance is how we can rebuild the health sector there by building the hospital and especially for mother and child.
Okay, and Pak Arifah, can you explain the role by the AXA Working Group?
Yeah, thank you so much, Mr. Steve and Pak Arul. Good morning, all. So about the hospital for mother and child, hospital in Indonesia for mother and child in Gaza. Actually, this project launched by since 7 October. We think how we can deliver or to address our tension to our brother and sister in Gaza. Especially as you know, during the war, there's many victims from children and mothers. So we propose to build this hospital regarding the data that we have from Minister of Health in Gaza. So alhamdulillah, till now we have a lot of legal document and compliance for build this hospital. And as I can mention that last yesterday, AXA Working Group and Minister of Foreign Affairs Indonesia, we make a press conference regarding the progress of this hospital. So this project we want to deliver that to help our brother and sister in Gaza. We must have a long project for them. One of the example for the project is the hospital, inshallah.
Okay, I will dig deeper into the projects, not only about this hospital, but let's talk about the hospital first. I would like to know, when will the reconstruction begin and how long will it take?
Okay. This question is very challenging because, we start regarding to the situation in Gaza. Now we still to reach how to enter Gaza. So we coordinate with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and many many partners, local partners in Egypt and in Gaza. How can we can enter Gaza as soon as possible? The team is ready, and we hope we can enter Gaza in this Q1 or no, well in Q2, yeah, in next month or after next month, in May, we can enter Gaza and deliver our donation, or we can prove to the public in Indonesia that this project is real, and we hope anybody can eligible to donate this project, Mr. Tri.
Okay, so not only by the Indonesian government and also the Axel Working Group, but everybody who is listening to this broadcast, they need to also support it. So
sure.
I would like also to know from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Pak Rifa mentioned about the coordination processes. Could you walk us through, I mean, the challenges in coordinating the coordination not only with the local partners, but also in transporting all the materials and the equipments for the hospital?
So from our part, it's at the government chief that regarding this project, of course, we are from the government, we are very committed to facilitating the realization of this project, and we know that there are challenges because the construction will be in a conflict area, in conflict zone where the war is still ongoing. Now we are have a situation that's still difficult. The ceasefire is not settled yet. So we are in our state, the government, we are will do a coordination with all the stakeholders, and we will use all of diplomatic channels that we can use how to facilitate the entry of the team of the hospital, and also maybe regarding the materials, maybe Pak Arifa will explain more. But from our side, of course, we will use all of our diplomatic channels to speak with the Palestinian authorities in Gaza and also in the West Bank, also other countries neighbors to Palestine like Egypt, and because to Gaza only can reach to Egypt and to Jordan also.
Okay, before talking about the materials, I would like to know how many countries are supporting us in building the Mother and Children Hospital in this, sir?
Actually, if I'm not wrong, this initiative is an investment from Indonesia, and I not yet project with other countries, and maybe Pak Rifa will explain more.
Okay, so Pak Rifa, could you explain about how many partners will be there, and also the movement of the materials to make sure that this plan will run smoothly?
The only partner for this project is Indonesian people. So we don't accept any part from the other countries. Because what? Because we want to make this project special. This from the heart of Indonesia to people in Gaza. So that we declared in the beginning that we cannot take or receive any donation or any part from the other countries. So as you know, in Gaza also there's a lot of many facilities and hospitals built by the countries like Emirates Arab, Turkish, and Qatar. So we will make the same. So why are we confident to build this project? We have experience. We have team that built the Indonesian hospital now, the Axis hospital in North Gaza, Indonesian hospital. So we will make the same project, but for the other segment, for the mother and children. About the materials, that's why we have to send as soon as possible our team to Gaza. Yeah. We can approach every channel that we can enter Gaza, maybe from Jordan or from Egypt, coordinating with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. But the possible is from Egypt, because yeah, our team, the experience for them is from Egypt. They know about the vendors, suppliers of there, and now the materials and price. So it make more easy if we can enter Gaza from Egypt.
Okay, so it will come from Egypt, and we know that we used to have the Indonesian hospital, but it was destroyed by Israel. Did this cause any? I mean, did this affect the morale of the team in building this or not?
Yeah, sometimes yeah. The effect for the team, but Indonesian hospital now leading by medical emergency rescue. It's not our part, actually. I mean, they have own project and we are have own project, but we are each other still coordinating and still help each other, especially in supplying the manpower to reconstruction the hospital after the destroyed by Israeli.
Okay, and moving on a little bit from the hospital itself. Pak Rifa mentioned that it is only part of a long-term plan for Palestine coming from Indonesia. I'd like to move to Pak Ahrul. Besides this hospital, Pak Ahrul, what are the other moves that Indonesia is taking to support Palestine, especially for this year?
Yes, if you know that on last February 26th, we already launched the national campaign with the theme of Indonesia for Palestine, solidarity, real action, and new hope. So this launch of the national campaign was involving more than 33 Indonesian NGOs active in humanitarian assistance. So actually we already get some information that some hope. Other Indonesia humanitarian organization also has their own initiative, such as Basnas. They have initiative to build the Indonesian village in Gaza, and from Mercy they will also renovate the destructive in Indonesian hospital in North Gaza. So this is in terms of humanitarian assistance, along with the continuous distribution of the emergency humanitarian. From our side, from the government, politically, of course, we will continue to support the cause of Palestinian in all forum that we have access, bilaterally, multilaterally, and also with a cooperation with many stakeholders under the UN, such as the UN OCHA or UNRWA, and bilaterally, we will also plan for the Palestinians to profit them the capacity building program, economic development program, and also collaborative. That's what.
Okay, so there are a lot of things, not only about the hospital, but also from so many sectors coming from our government and from the AXA working group. What are the other plans that you have for Palestine?
We actually we have a long story how to help our brother and sister in Gaza. We do not every single needs that they need in Gaza, food, water, some of assistant needs like the NGOs did. But we think in our history that we have to make some real project and long project. This is the hospital. So and also we want to connect people in Gaza and people in Indonesia still connected by this project, because this long project. So any Indonesian who eager to help and feel like our brother and sister in Gaza need something medical assistance for the a long time, so they can join the this project, maybe as a donor or as a team. We call also from Indonesian doctors, engineers, many profile from our side to contribute for this project. Of course, for this term, we want to send the advanced team is the engineer who know and who want to willing to build the construction. I mean, but the doctors and the others maybe after the advanced team.
Okay, for the advanced team itself, how many engineers that you plan to send to Gaza?
In our plan, more than five engineers.
More than five engineers. Okay, and in there, as an advanced team for the checking the construction, etc., what are the processes that they will do, and then what is the expected result by the AXA Working Group and also by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs?
The expected result for both, that we want to make as soon as possible groundbreaking for the hospital. So that's the answer, that we have to send as soon as possible our team to Gaza to make the plan to groundbreaking.
Okay.
So the hospital.
So from the groundbreaking and then there will be construction. I would like to know the estimation of how many medical workers needed, so that maybe people from across Indonesia who are listening to this broadcast might want to join in. How many people that you need?
As our experience before, less more than 70 medicals, 70 medicals, and if totally, I think more than 100 medicals and engineers to make this progress effective when the project starting.
Okay, so when the project start with, it will need 100 medical workers for this whole project. And the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, what kind of support for the facilities? Suppose there will be 100 person ready to go there. What is the support by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs?
Yes, as I mentioned, of course we will coordinate and use the diplomatic channel to get the approval. So actually now we are in close coordination with our embassy in Cairo. As Farah said, the only access to Gaza is from Egypt to the Rafah borders, but we know that now it's still closed. So we are daily monitor the progress and the development in Gaza. So when it is open, we already get the approval. So I think and we are also in close coordination with AXA Working Group how we can facilitate them when they need to go in to enter Gaza.
Okay, so Indonesia is not only waiting and see, but Indonesia is really ready to make the move. But the ministry and also the NGOs, all the stakeholders from Indonesia are ready to support Palestine for the, well, short term and even for the long term. Okay, thank you very much, Pak Ahrul, and also Pak Arifa. I wish that this project will run smoothly and get a lot of backing from not only Indonesians, but also from so many countries. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, listener, that is our short talk about the Building Hope in Gaza with the Director of Middle East and Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ahrul Sani Fatur Rahman, and Presidium of AXA Working Group, Pak Rifa Bedena Arifin. You can listen again to this talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
That is better in every day, but then I feel it that you'll be the only one. But sometimes it doesn't have to be so sure. The sweetest love can be so hard to find. We'll be better in every way. Then I would go to be in outer space. Sometimes the bitter of love can be so good. It's like a coffee with a rainbow's mood. Sometimes you feel off, but sometimes you feel right. Is there to be or it is not to be? To fall in love again, to be the one for me. Sometimes you fall, but every time we'll be together, we'll be mad. Like a perfect cake that my grandma's made. Feel off, but sometimes you feel it right. Is it to be or it is not to be? To fall in love again, to be the one for me. Sometimes you fall, but every time we'll be together, we'll be better in every way. To be in outer space. Sometimes the bitter of love can be so good. It's like a coffee with a rainbow. It's like a coffee with a rainbow. It's like a coffee with a rainbow's moon. With a rainbow's moon.
You might be familiar with this sound when your kids are online. But you might miss some other sounds. Your child might stumble upon harmful content, bullies and predators when they are online. Pay attention to the sounds. It's not too late.
Mom, what's this?
Find more ways to protect children online from your local children protection agency or visit unicef.org.
Dari seribu jalan di dunia, mengapa berpapasan bertemu dia? Hanya lari pergi tanpa kata, mengapa sudut mata apa rupanya? Lupa bawa lupa kenya. Mudah tapi itu senyuman yang ku suka. Sepertinya sama, katakannya suaranya masih yang lama. Kau ajak bicara, seketika kembali ku jatuh cinta. Banyak manusia, mengapa lagi-lagi dia yang ku jumpa? Malam hangat tapi ku terjaga, rindukan dirinya sih sangat kecewa. Lupa bahwa lupakannya tak mudah tapi menyangkut dia ku tak bisa. Sepertinya sama tatapan hatinya masih yang lama. Kajak bicara seketika kembali ku jatuh cinta.
Dan kali ini Juicy Lucy, and after this we'll listen to a story about the ritual of anak bajang from Wonosobo Regency.
The Land Above the Clouds is the nickname of Dieng Valley in central Java. This valley has a main tradition held annually that features cutting off dreadlocks on children as part of the Dieng Culture Festival. They are not ordinary children. They had the dreadlocks after they mysteriously had high fever and their illness was not detected medically. The next day the dreadlocks appears on their head and it can only be cut with a long sequence of ritual where the whole villagers have their own parts.
Ya, kalau yang minta kan gembelnya ya. Gembelnya kalau orang tua kan kaya itu yang minta apa kentut satu kantong plastik sama telur puyuh satu itu orangnya kaya. Kan disuruh teman-teman minta mobil, minta enggak. Harusnya minta kentut untuk mainan gini kok. Buat mainan katanya. Nah, saya sampai kesono dua kali saya tanyain. Nggak bela-belo itu. Minta kentut sama ibunya. Buat mainan gini udah. Ya minta gembelnya bukan anaknya. Bukan gembelnya yang minta. Kalau gembel itu nggak bisa dirubah kan.
Our journey to Dieng village in Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java, was an unforgettable experience. It took 12 hours from Jakarta until we reached in Dieng. With a scenic winding road with a green potatoes plantation and people residents along, made it worth it. Cold wind welcomed our arrival upon Dieng village. We visited this village to witness a unique annual event. It was the ritual of cutting the dreadlocks of Dieng children who are called anak bajang. But why does cutting dreadlocks need a long ritual and involve the whole village?
Karena kalau anak gembel itu kan titipan dari Dewi Roro Runce dari Samudra.
We believe the dreadlock was a gift from goddess Roro Runce from Kidul Sea. She gave it to Kiai Agung Kaladete as his apprentice. After the dreadlock is cut, it will be put in a jar. The jar then will be put on river that flows to Kidul Sea. It is like we return the dreadlock to the goddess.
Air yang mengalir ke Samudra Kidul dikembalikan yang menitipi supaya tidak gembel lagi.
For many years, Mbah Sumanto had carried out the dreadlock cutting ritual. The Anak Bajang are believed to be special children of Dian, who bridge our reality and the unseen realm.
Karena filosofinya adalah anak gimbal merupakan titipan yang maha kuasa, di mana orang Dieng mempercayai bahwa yang maha kuasa selalu menitipkan apapun yang dia kehendaki itu.
The philosophy of dreadlock children is that they are gifts from God. The young people believe that God always entrusts anything He will through a medium. This medium bridges the seen and the unseen. So, the ritual is simply about respecting the unseen without worshipping them. We also believe our ancestor, Tumenggung Kolodete, also did the ritual. He cut his child's dreadlock and then let the dreadlock flows into the Southern Sea. It is because the past believed that the hair also belongs to the god. The Javanese must have goodwill and ethics. If something was entrusted to us through the medium, we should return it through the medium too. It is to avoid miscommunication and to appreciate the medium too.
Kan harusnya tata krama ketika mempercayai bahwa kita dipinjami barang melalui perantara, maka alangkah baiknya pengembaliannya juga melalui perantara sehingga tidak miskomunikasi, ataupun akan lebih baik bahwa yang menjadi perantara juga kita hargai. Itu seperti itu.
Ali Fauzi, born in Dieng, upholds the cultural value in this ritual. He managed to preserve his ancestors' heritage in a more modern way without removing the traditional element of the ritual itself. He initiated the Dieng Culture Festival, an event that could bring many tourists while keep allowing the long ritual process.
Ya, inilah budaya kita yang penuh dengan filosofi yang bagus sekali, di mana kegiatan ritual pencukuran rambut gimbal ini memang panjang sebetulnya. Hanya memang saat ini kita atraksikan budayanya, tapi perlu saya jelaskan apa sih yang panjang itu. Tentunya dimulai dengan acara napak tilas. Napak tilas ada di beberapa tempat, bahkan hampir lebih dari 20 tempat. Ini adalah konsep dari pelestarian lingkungan sebetulnya, di mana para pemangku adat, pemangku budaya, tokoh masyarakat yang terlibat dalam napak tilas ini adalah berkunjung beberapa tempat yang dianggap sakral atau dianggap harus dihargai, karena dampak dari hidupnya lingkungan di satu tempat itu akan membeli siklus kehidupan yang ada di bumi ini. Katakanlah ke satu mata air yang dianggap sakral, karena mata air itu tentu harus kita survei, harus kita lihat, harus kita hargai pohon-pohon di sekitarnya. Karena pohon yang bagus, mata air yang bagus tentu akan memberikan efek kehidupan yang baik untuk manusia sendiri. Jadi ini napak tilas selama beberapa hari dengan 20 tempat adalah bagaimana hubungan manusia dengan sekitarnya, manusia dengan manusia ini harus terjalin secara harmonis. Nah, selain memang hubungan dengan Sang Maha Pencipta sebagai pencipta alam semesta ini menjadi kunci bahwa, mohon maaf, kami tidak menyembah tempat, tetapi kami menghargai tempat. Karena bagaimanapun alam ini sebetulnya mereka bernafas, pohon bernafas, tentu kita harus menghargai ciptaan yang maha kuasa lainnya. Itu seperti itu. 23 tempat itu panjang, ada yang jalan kaki, kecuali yang jauh saat ini mungkin dibantu dengan kendaraan, saya itu jalan kaki. Dan juga para pemangku adat itu melakukan beberapa persyaratan, biasanya berpuasa dan lain-lain. Sekitar 5 hari.
This deeply philosophical ritual of cutting dreadlock is really long. It begins with visiting 20 sacred places. The elders and the community figures involved will visit the places deemed sacred for their impact towards life. It is like preserving the environment. For instance, we visit a sacred water spring. We survey the spring and appreciate the trees around it. In there, we could see how a good water spring can bring good effect to lives, including us human beings. 5 days before ritual, the elders did the prihatin during the visit. The night before the ritual, the dreadlock children will be gathered in a small banquet as a gratitude that the children have arrived at the place of an elder. In the morning, the children will be paraded on a carriage across the village, and the parade is followed by art performances. Meanwhile, the tourists can stay across the Dieng Kulon village area to Suharto Witlam or Dharmasala, because in there, the dreadlock children will undergo a purification ritual. During the previous visits, elders collected water for purification. This purification aims to strip away wickedness from the children. Then, after the purification, the children will be paraded again to Arjuna Temple. In the temple, they will cut the dreadlock of the children one by one. The first cut will be done by the elders, and after that, others can also cut the dreadlock under the guidance of the elders. After that, there will be another gratitude banquet called Pengalah Berkah. Visitors can join the event. Since we prepared a banquet for all people to eat together as a gratitude to the god for the dreadlock cutting ritual had been done. But the last ritual will be the flowing the dreadlocks.
Anak-anak gimbal. Ini salah satu filosofi sebetulnya. Apapun ketika ada kegiatan yang bertujuan baik, itu alangkah baiknya itu semua dibersihkan. Maka diharapkan juga memakai pakaian yang baik, pakaian yang bagus itu yang kita bersyukur sudah kita fasilitasi biasanya. Yang nanti,
hair is a crown for a human, especially women. It may coincide with the fact that most Bajang children in Dieng are female. The Bajang children who have dreadlocks are mostly 2 to 12 years old. For instance, Alita from Wonosobo. Since 2 years old, she had asked the dreadlocks to be cut in Dieng village. She also asked 2 goats.
Ini si Alita sendiri yang minta dari
Alita herself wanted the dreadlocks cutting in Dieng since she was 2 years old. She also wished for 2 goats.
Wishes are specific, such as one quail egg. The egg must be one and must be from quail. If not fulfilled, the dreadlock will return and condition will worsen.
Like other traditions in Indonesia, this ritual has detailed preparation with full philosophical meaning. For instance, in the parade to Arjuna Temple where the dreadlocks will be cut, there was a cart full of Bajang children's wishes. There was also another cart with 4 colored tumbang. Tumbang is a cone-shaped rice dish with side dishes of vegetables and meat.
Jadi kalau apa tumpeng rojong itu bahwa rambut gimbal itu kan seperti padi contoh itu. Nah, jadi ada gembel padi, ada rambut gimbal.
So, tumpeng rojong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There's dreadlock that is like rice. Another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agricultural trade. White means purity, where we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya, jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nikang-nikung kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling
itu yang berwarna putih gitu.
Another detail about dreadlocks cutting ritual is that it always held during dry season, where the temperatures in Dieng Hill fell to 4 degrees Celsius. The meeting between hot and cold mountain air creates created mist across the hill since dawn. But then, when the ritual begins, the mist will be replaced by warm sunlight. And the ritual begins. Preserving tradition when advanced technology is invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of Dieng people on the value of their tradition proves the tradition can coexist with modernization.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, today's Music Corner presents a song from the province of West Sumatra titled Mudiak Arau. The song Mudiak Arau was composed by Aji Sultan Sati. It tells the poignant story of a woman who faithfully waits for a man returning from his travels. No matter the circumstances or the changes he may have undergone during his time away, she remains steadfast in her love and anticipations. Well, listeners, here is Mudiak Arau performed by Nurul Fadila Hamid. Enjoy!
Listener, here's the news. The Indonesian government will place 600,000 Indonesian migrant workers in Saudi Arabia after the moratorium is lifted. The Ministry of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers will soon open a memorandum of understanding on March 20, 2025. The Minister of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers, Abdul Qadir Karding, on Saturday, March 15, 2025, as quoted by RMI.co.id, said the hundreds of thousands of Indonesian migrant workers, 60% were divided into workers in the domestic sector of the household environment, and around 40% were in the formal labor sector. Minister Karding said the sending of migrant workers would later be legalized through bilateral cooperation between countries that will be signed by Indonesian government and Saudi Arabian government. Tom Hay, Justin Hubner, Sandy Walsh and Rafael Struick led the first wave of Indonesian national team players based overseas as they began arriving in Sydney, Australia, RRI.co.id reported. The Indonesian national team is scheduled to face Australia in the third round of 2026 FIFA World Cup Asian qualifiers on Thursday at Sydney Football Stadium. Patrick Kluivert has called up 29 players for Indonesian national team, with the majority playing in European football leagues. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Seikat kembang merah. Kau tahu ku mulai bosan bercumbu dengan bayang-bayang. Bantulah aku temukan diri menyambut pagi membuang sepi.
tengah telaga, ada tersisa butiran cinta, dan semoga kerinduan ini bukan jadi mimpi di atas mimpi.
Whether you're unwinding by the beach or enjoying a spirited night out, we encourage you to do so with a sense of responsibility. Indonesia welcomes the responsible traveller, where joy and duty dance in harmony, creating memories that are not just unforgettable.